right, brethren, let's be turning to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, and it's so good to be with you again. And I have a lot of friends here that I've been friends with for a long, long time. And it's always good to be with you, always good to see you. And I really enjoy coming here. I'm so thankful that you asked me to come, and just really appreciate it. Brother Donnie, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago, and after each one of the messages, you know, I just didn't want to get up and say anything after the preaching because I didn't want to mess it up. It was so good. That's how I feel right now. I told Fred a minute ago, I said, I'd really like to just feed on what I just heard for a while is really what I'd like to do. That was really, really, really a blessing to me, Brother Donnie. Isaiah 41, I'm going to begin by just making a few statements, and I want to read my text. You know, the Lord's people must go through much tribulation. That is what the Lord said. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. It's a must. It's a need be. So we're going to go through some trouble. The Lord He's been pleased to leave us in this body of death. That's going to cause us trouble. He's been pleased to leave us in this sin-cursed world. That's going to cause trouble. But he's left us here for a purpose. Our Lord has got some lost sheep that he has redeemed, and he will call every one of them out. And that's why we're here. We're here to preach this good news of our Redeemer, and he shall call out his people. Now, because this gospel is offensive, that's part of the reason we're going to suffer. You know, the churches we go to that we know, that we fellowship with, they're all just small congregations. There's a few here, there's a few there, and we're scattered, we're far apart. And every congregation has some kind of trouble within it. Every one of them. And everybody in each of the congregations have their own personal troubles. Talking about God's people now, God's saints. We have the promises of God here that he's going to keep his people. And he's going to continue to keep his church. And he's going to bless his word. And he's going to call out his people.
Yes.
And I want you to be comforted. I want you to be assured. I want you to be strengthened. I want him to do that for you. And you go out of here knowing all is well. All is well. The Lord's faithful and all is well. Our text gives us five promises that's going to meet every need of God's child. These are five promises. Every need for you that trust Christ alone. He's going to do this for you. This is what he promises. We become fearful. We get fearful of many things. This is that bad fear Brother Donnie was talking about. We start fearing people and things, and this is what he says, verse 10. God says, Isaiah 41:10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And then we look about, we start looking from the Lord, and we look at things and things here below, and we start to get anxious. We get dismayed. He says, verse 10, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We're weak in ourselves. At times we get so weak, we can't hardly continue. Verse 10, God says, I will strengthen thee. Our burdens become heavy to us. It's just too heavy for us. God promises, verse 10, yea, I will help thee. Sometimes our foot slips. And we fall, and we think we might fall away. This is what the Lord said. Verse 10, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, there's five promises. It's just one promise, really. God said, I will save you. But let's just look at these five things briefly. If God's given you faith in Christ to trust him and him alone, these are five promises to you. Five promises to you. Now let's hear what he said. First of all, God says in verse 10, fear thou not, I am with thee. Now throughout the scriptures, God tells his people a lot, fear thou not. And every time he says fear not, there is a because with it. And the cause is God and what he is and what he's doing. That's always the because. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Look down at verse 11. We become fearful when enemies of the cross become incensed against us and oppose us. And there's some enemies. The carnal mind's enmity against God. And he hears this gospel and he becomes incensed against us and opposes us. That makes us fearful. But look at what he says in verse 11. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. How so? How's this going to happen? Verse 13, he said, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. It's always, the because is always the Lord saying what he will do for us. We're weak worms in ourselves. We become fearful of our own selves. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. Because of God's electing grace, we're Israel. We're the elect Israel of God. But in ourselves, we're worms. We're Jacobs. But look what he says. Fear thou not, worm Jacob. What could be more helpless than a worm? What could be more weak and helpless than a worm? Well, now, if there's any sinner trusting himself and trying to be his own strength and his own power and his own salvation, he got every reason to be fearful. But to you that are so weak and so helpless, he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob. Here's the reason. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let's look at another place. Isaiah 43. Trials and persecutions make us fearful. When trials come and persecutions come, they make you fearful. God promises in Isaiah 43:1, now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why not? He said, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither the flame even kindle upon you, because I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He said, I gave nations for you. I gave people for you. You've been precious in my sight. You're honorable. I love you. Therefore, I give men for you and people for your life. We become fearful when we see so few hearing our gospel and believing the gospel, and we start seeing folks go away from the gospel. That makes us fearful too. But look what he says right here in Isaiah 43:5. Fear not. Why? For I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I made him. You see, the reason God commands us to fear not is God himself. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. And what he promises, he will do. You that have been in the faith a while, you can say, that's so. He's made good on those promises to me. Hadn't he, Brother Don? He's with us without fail. He chose us by his grace. So there's nothing that's going to change grace. Grace wasn't, he didn't choose you because of something in you. He chose us by grace. And so nothing was going to make him change his favor toward his people. Christ redeemed us. That's what he told us. I redeemed you. That's why you don't have to fear. You're my purchased possession. I paid my blood for you. I will save you. The Spirit of God gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And God don't take back his gifts. So he says, fear not. I am with thee. All right, secondly, let's go back now, Isaiah 41:10. We begin to look at things we can see with our carnal eye. We start looking at things below that we can see with this carnal eye. We start judging by appearance. And that's what makes us anxious. That's what it is to be dismayed. The word means to look away. And we look away from Christ to things down below. And it means to be anxious. And we start getting anxious because of what we see. What he says, verse 10, be not dismayed, Isaiah 41:10, be not dismayed, I am thy God. He's saying here, be not dismayed, be not looking away. That's what it could be. It could be translated, be not looking away from the Lord Jesus. That's what he's saying. And don't be anxious about what the things going on around you here below. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And you know, he's sitting there with all power over all. The God-man has all power in heaven, earth, over the things that are seen, the things that are unseen. He's the head of the church. He's ruling and reigning. And so Paul said, you set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, because you are dead. You died in Christ, and your life's hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Can't you say that, brethren, that most of our anxious trouble comes from looking away from Christ and looking at things we can see here below? Be not dismayed, God said, I'm thy God. Now, listen, if we boast that we made him our God, and there's a lot of people in this world that boast that they made him Lord. I made him Lord of my life. If we're boasting that we made him our God, we have great reason to fear. Amen. How is God thy God? Did you first love him, or did he first love you? Did you first choose him, or did he first choose you? Was the choice by grace without any cause in you, or did he look and see something in you worth saving? Did he call you and make you willing by his power, or did you by your will decide you'd let him save you? You see, the difference between those two are the difference between grace and works, between grace and will worship, between salvation and condemnation. This is serious. This is what he said in Isaiah 41 right here in verse 9. He's saying, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to the ones he chose and he called and he drew to himself. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That man will be satisfied with all the blessings of his house. And this word here now, if you're only a sinner saved by grace, if that's what you are, then understand this. When he says here, I am thy God, that means I am for you. That's what it means. Go over to Romans 8. I've tried to think how I could give you this and maybe not read the whole thing, but it's just too good not to read the whole thing. Look here in Romans 8 and verse 28. In Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what God's saying in our text. Be not dismayed, I'm for you. And none of the things you see with your carnal eye, and none of the people that oppose you can be against you, because I'm for you. That's what he's saying. You talk about strengthening your heart and settle you. And he just takes that word. And when he speaks that word into your heart, he turns you to him above. And he sets your affection singular on him singularly. And there's where you settle. That's how this old flesh is mortified. That's Paul. That's what he's saying in Colossians 3. He said, all this touch not, taste not, handle not. That's not mortifying the flesh. That's inflaming the flesh. He said, if you're risen with Christ, look to Christ. Set your affection on Christ. And he says, mortify therefore. And that word could be mortify thereby your members which are on this earth. Because when you're looking to Christ, you can't be looking at yourself. And when you're looking to Christ, you can't be looking at other things and being anxious. And when you're looking at him and he's settled your heart, you're settled. And you know he's doing the saving. You remember when Moses entreated the Lord for Pharaoh, and the scripture said concerning that swarm of flies, and the scripture says, because Moses entreated for him, scripture says of those flies, there remain not one. Well, because Christ entreated the Father for his people and made intercession for us and came between us and that law and came between us and the curse and paid the price for us concerning our sins, there remains not one. There remains not one. God is satisfied. Christ justified his people. He put our sins away forever. They blotted out. God remembers them no more. And so he says to us now, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're as helpless as sheep. But no, we're not going to be separated from him, because in all these things we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Be not dismayed, he said. Don't be anxious. I'm with you. I'm for you. That's what he said. All right, thirdly, in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Lord says, fear thou not, verse 10, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. How was Paul made to know that he was weak? How was he made to know he was weak? He didn't think he was weak. Not at first. How was he made to know Christ alone was his strength? Paul said, the Lord gave him a gift. He gave him something. He said, he gave me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. We all want to know more of the Lord, and we want to know him more and more, and we want to be used of the Lord however he's pleased to use us. But I can tell you this, the more he teaches us and the more he uses us, the more we're going to suffer in this world. And you know why? Because if he didn't give us that, we would be exalted above measure. We would get puffed up with pride and think we had done something. And so he gave that to Paul graciously so he would not be exalted above measure. And here's what he taught him through that. Child of God, when you consider that he gave Paul this messenger of Satan to buffet him, all right, are you opposed by somebody who they hate the gospel, they're opposing you, who sent them? Why did he send them? He sent them for the same reason he gave that messenger of Satan to Paul. He taught Paul, I'm not taking it away. What I'm teaching you is my grace is sufficient for you. We won't find that out until he brings us to a place where we are so weak that we can't do one thing but trust him to save. That's so now. And that's what Paul was being taught. He's told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, here's what it did for me. It made me start glorying in my weakness. I glory that I'm weak. There's no other religion in the world, where that glories that we are weak and incapable of helping ourselves. This is the only one right here. Well, that's what Paul said. I glory that I'm so weak that I can't save myself, because the power of Christ rests upon me. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. The problem is, this is most of our problem, this is my problem, and it's most our problem. We're too strong most of the time. Think we are. We get so easily, get offended, and get puffed up. But the weaker the better. The weaker the better. And the Lord's going to teach us that. We don't even have to worry about it. If He's going, He said, I will strengthen thee. That's going to involve Him first making us totally weak to know the strength's Him. When it says He's our strength, it means He is all our wisdom. Really and truly, He's all our wisdom. He is all our righteousness. He is all our holiness, our sanctification. He's all our redemption. He is all our strength. He's the power of God unto salvation. He is the power of the gospel. He is the gospel. All our strength is Christ. But we're going to have to be made weak that His power may rest on us and teach us that. When we're weak, that's when we're strong. All right. I can't leave this point. I got to show you this. Look over at Isaiah 40, verse 29. Just to put the period on this point. Look here. He giveth power to who? To the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. that's who he's the strength of. Them that just can't. You know, you hear that saying, God helps those that help themselves. No, that's who He don't help. He helps those that cannot help themselves. All right, fourthly, Isaiah 41, verse 10. He says, here's His next promise. He says, fear not, yea, I will help thee. I will help thee. Now, how will the Lord help you? How's He going to help you? What's the means He's chosen to help you? It's what we're doing right now. The means He's chosen to help His people is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's the means that He's pleased. And I'll tell you what happens when we become fearful, when we become dismayed, anxious, all these things, strong in ourselves and thinking we can figure things out or whatever. And we're very prone to say, I'm just not going to go hear the gospel preached. That's like if you got really, really sick and you said, I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm so sick, I'm not going to go to the doctor. This is how He's going to help you. And you don't need it. You need it all the time, but there's no time you need it more than any other than when you are dismayed and fearful and just think you're going to perish. You need Him. Christ is our only helper, and He helps through this good news. We come here and we want to hear Him preach this gospel to us. He's the prophet. We want to hear Him preaching this to us. We want Him to renew our hearts like it's the first day we ever heard it and hear Him say, I have redeemed thee, thou art mine. That's the strength. He's the great physician, and the balm is everything He's accomplished that is declared in this gospel. That's what we need. That's how our flesh is mortified. That's how our inner man is renewed and we're revived. I tell you what, Donnie, when I came in here, I really didn't feel like preaching. I felt that way all day. And that message, I felt, okay, I think I can get up and preach. You always assemble where the gospel's preached. The great physician said, I'll help thee. And He's going to do it this way. Don't forsake the assembling together, especially when you're troubled and there's trouble all about you. You go hear the gospel preached. Lastly, our Lord promises here in verse 10, Isaiah 41:10. He says, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will. Our Lord Jesus has already upheld us, and all his elect, he upheld us on the cross already. Our Lord Jesus upheld us when he bore the righteous judgment of God in place of his people. He upheld us. He upheld us by being made a curse for us and putting that curse away for us. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He upheld us when he came to us with this gospel and created a new man in us and gave us faith and repentance and a new heart and fear of the Lord and a reverence for him and made us willing to bow down and trust him to do all the saving. He upheld us then. And he's already upheld you every day. You that he's called, he's upheld you every day right up to this point. Do you think now he's going to get to this point and decide, I'm not going to uphold you anymore? No, he's going to uphold you. He said he would. Look here in Isaiah 46, verse 3. Isaiah 46, verse 3. He says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. Remember what he told Jeremiah? Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet. Look what he said. You're born by me from the belly. You're carried by me from the womb. Even when you didn't know him, he was carrying you. Look, and even to your old age, I'm he. And even to your gray-headed, I'll carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. You see there where it says, even to your old age, I am he. That word means, I am he means, I am. I don't change. You've changed. You changed from your mother's womb till you were born till you grew up right up to now. Your hair changed. Some fell out. Some turned gray. You've changed. All the world's changed. All these things have changed. He hadn't changed. His gospel hadn't changed. His promise hadn't changed. His grace hadn't changed. None of his changed. He said, and I've been carrying you the whole time, and I'm going to carry you the rest of the way. That's the Lord we're worshiping. That's the Lord we worship. There's nothing in this gospel that you and me did. We didn't first give him anything. In fact, the Lord said in Romans, he said, who is it that first gave me anything? I'll give it back to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Everything we have, he first gave it to us. He'd been carrying us the whole way. So, child of God, listen to what he says to you now. Isaiah 41:14. He says, I will help thee, saith the Lord. I'm thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you believe him and trust him, you hear him say that to you personally, like you're the only one he's saving. He says, I will help you. I am your Redeemer. I'm your Holy One. There's only one Holy One. God's people have one holiness, and it is Christ. Yeah. What is thy God, thy Redeemer, thy Holy One? What's he promise you? Isaiah 41:10. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I've been carrying you the whole way, and I'm going to keep carrying you. And, you know, I love the fact God is absolutely, totally sovereign over everything. I tell you something, that's not all there is, though. If he was absolutely, totally sovereign, and that by itself, we could have reason to be fearful. He's holy, too. So he's absolutely sovereign in everything he does. He said, I'm holding you with the right hand of my righteousness. Whatever I do for you, it's going to be right. And that's what he's doing. He's never, and you know, after you've gone through a little bit of suffering, it's bad when it starts, but after you go through it, this is what God's child said. I don't have a problem saying this is what every one of God's children say, because this is what we all say. It's been good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. I might be brought down to just trust you to do the saving. Do y'all recognize this verse 10? Every time we sing How Firm a Foundation, the whole song is right out of Isaiah. But every time we sing How Firm a Foundation, the second verse comes from verse 10. This is the song. It says, "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." So you take these now, this word, and you just rest right here. And the next time you're troubled and next time you're anxious and dismayed, you go to that verse and you just read that one verse. And you think on those five promises God made. And you look to Him and you trust Him. He shall do what He says He will do. There's no maybes in there. It's just I will, I will, I will. So trust Him. All right, brethren.